Blog Talk Radio.
Shine Down with My Monsters Are Real, band from Florida. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend. It's April 22nd in the year of our Lord 2023. It's a Saturday, Saturday. This is the ATOV Radio. It's a Wonderland production sponsored by A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. We're part of allpoetry.com. It's a poetry writing group. We are in the. It's free to join. You can find a team of voices, ATOV, in the groups section. Knock on the door. Deborah will answer and let you in. It's free to join. Let's see. With me tonight, of course, is A.P. Taylor from the Land Down Under, the Wizard of Oz. How are you doing, AP?
Yeah, good, Hatter. How are you?
I'm just fine. Is Deborah with us yet?
She is.
I am.
And we've got Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
And we've got Steve.
And in the back is Deborah. Deborah Lee, she does all the heavy lifting, did the hard work, so we could sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
So today, tomorrow, start the 7-day countdown for the big adventure. I'm getting excited. I get to fly down to Australia. I get to fly down to Australia and do a couple of shows with AP Taylor. He's been so kind to invite me down, and I am excited to go to Australia. Something I've wanted to do since I was a kid. Will be a week from tomorrow, I will leave.
Week from tomorrow? Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then three weeks, Hatter. So we've probably got at least a couple of shows. Yeah. So we'll try to do one from Sydney, and we'll try and do one from the Goldfields, I think. We'll have it so that you're in sort of gold finding phase, and then we'll have one from
I've done some prospecting here in California in the Mother Lode area several times. My uncle taught me how to do it when I was young. It's been a while since I have, but I've been studying the gold fields in Victoria.
Australia,
which is one of the biggest gold producing, the biggest nuggets some of the biggest nuggets in the world were found there, right?
Yes, they were, absolutely, and mm-hmm. one of the biggest gold fields in the world, actually. This doesn't mean that we are necessarily going to stumble across the biggest nugget since the Welcome Stranger, but it we'll give it a go, Hatter.
Well, I can hear. I've already seen the headlines. California man finds second biggest nugget in history. There you go. It's a big difference between prospecting in California, which is more of a mining, and you have alluvial gold, which is basically sitting on the top of the ground. A lot of it.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I've
been watching this show called Aussie Gold, and I've been watching it, and yeah, they're still finding it right on the ground. And look at that. Oh, shit, there it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'll be exciting. I just want to be able to say in my lifetime I was in the gold fields looking for gold. That's all.
And you'll be able to do that, Hatter?
It was on my bucket list. Yeah, it's on the bucket list, and
yep.
I get to mark it up. I thought for sure that was one that I was not going to be able to do. So I wrote it off years ago, and then I was the opportunity.
No, we're definitely happening. You've got the ticket, yeah.
Just got to make it down to San Francisco.
But absolutely, and then via Auckland, of course, because that's the way most people who are sensible go about doing it and avoid Los Angeles at all costs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go to LAX.
So, no.
Yeah, it'd be
no,
the biggest
I,
plane
I do,
ever.
I do. Oh, just
go ahead, AP.
You just don't want to do it. But I do have. I do have. The Welcome Stranger is the biggest gold nugget that was found in Victoria, Hatter. So I'm putting for good luck. I'm putting that up on the board just to give you an idea of the size of this bloody thing. It's a decent nugget.
I know the story. I know the story behind that little nugget. Guy lost his job, didn't have a job. And he was living out of with his family, I guess, in his van or something. And he took this cheap little. I don't think he had an expensive metal detector. He went out and found the tip, found something. He kept digging, and it was a hell of a nugget.
We're going to get Stephen on the line. Deb's just prompted us because we'll go talking all bloody day. But I have put your poem, welcome firstly, and I put your poem up on the board.
Hi, Stephen.
And Deb.
Hello.
Again. Hi, how are you, Stephen?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. That's a heck of a nugget,
good.
Isn't it, by the way? Decent sized piece of gold.
Yeah, that is a thing.
That is a very big piece of gold.
Yes.
And imagine
and
he'd have to be
pretty
to hold that around his neck.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put
gold.
That on a
wow.
That's Bill Bixby. That's what I looked like when I was younger, hitchhiking through the western United States.
Well, that's Parker Schnabel.
There you go.
There you go.
So,
well, Stephen, I know you push for time, so you want to go ahead and then let us have it.
All right, yeah, this is, monsters inside me, so I had to go this direction, and I call this, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Knapsack straps slung over flannel-covered shoulder. Boots shuffling and thumbing the drift twig stalwart. Another small town stares at the slouched spine, raised by the juddering juggernaut, triggered by rancor.
I always wondered where he got, is that David Banner?
Yeah.
Character Dave? I was wondering where he must have had a hell of a lot of shoes, and pants.
No doubt.
Ripping them. Yeah. The Lou Ferrigno. It was a good show. That was the famous line. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Yep.
Boots shuffled. It reminded me of that show. Remember Then Came Bronson?
No.
With Michael Parks. Yeah, I just floated around town to town. And little adventure on a motorcycle. But, AP, what'd you think?
I used to really like this show. I did.
Yeah.
And I thought you, like, the small town stares at the slouched mind was actually really perfect for the sense of what went on this sort of character, because he was really a sort of a drifter at the edges of society, and it sort of captured that sense really well. I mean, he had all these powers, but he sort of reluctantly used them at the very end, if you know what I mean. And it was he had to get really angry in order to do it. And I like the show, but I like the sort of poem sort of capture of that too.
Yeah, he was being hunted by that journalist all the time, who knew his secret, but he trying to find him. He was always. That's when I in 1977 or 78, I hitchhiked through five western states in the United States.
Oh, wow.
That's what those highways, and that's exactly what those highways look like. A lot of them just barren.
Yeah.
Especially the Nevada, Idaho desert, wasn't much to it.
Yep.
In fact, that's exactly what the story, The Dogs of Night, that's what that highway looked like when I was being stalked by those dogs or the coyotes or whatever they were.
Yep.
But, how's it going? I haven't talked to you in a bit.
Doing all right. Staying busy, that's for sure. Too busy sometimes.
Yeah. But we have next Friday will be the end of the last Friday of the month. It'll be our Man Cave show.
Yep.
Yes.
And be down to the last couple of days before I leave. That's all I'm going to be on my mind. Is I've never traveled so far in my life.
Yeah.
Getting on that huge
flight. I think it's a 777, isn't it? That I'm going flying down on.
It is. It is. It
I
is.
Think
you're
it
on
is.
The Dreamliner.
Cool.
Yeah, lovely plane.
It's a huge plane. Deborah, you there?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I am. Before I comment, though, there's some stuff going on in the studio.
Oh. Oh no.
easy.
That was some chicken purple.
Get out.
Huh.
Really? Get out.
Say hello, Hatter.
Is that chaos?
So
how are you?
I was wondering if you were going to ever let me in.
I know. I was waiting for them to breathe so I could tell them you were here, and then I was trying to find Chip so that I could, you know, do it with style.
I had to start throwing stuff to get people to let me in here. Gosh.
Right?
We'll have to
glad
get you a pass key.
But let me comment on Stephen in case he has to go. Stephen,
yeah.
For one thing, I remember that clip that you have there in that GIF. It was like the end of every show. He would hitchhike to the next spot, so it's really cool. And I love the title, of course, because of his tagline. But I'm just noticing here that you have a big, whopping 50 of these four-line 10s. Is this number 50?
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. I had a hard enough time with the one. I can't believe you have 50 of them band boys. Really, really
wow.
Cool.
I'm a mom.
So who's all in this right every day of the month?
Biddy.
Who started it? I'm sorry, Chaos, you say something?
No, I was just listening.
I forgot what I was saying. I didn't announce the prompt for tonight's show is The Monster Inside You, which sort of explains Stephen 76's poem. The Monster's Inside You. Everybody's got one. Let it out. Let it out.
And Stephen, did you want to push anything before you go?
Yeah.
Let's see. On Wednesday, it is actually going to be Sci Friday, even though it's on a Wednesday. We're still keeping the show named as Sci Friday. The next in line of Captain in Star Trek, we're going with Captain Catherine Janeway, played by Kate Mulgrew in Star Trek Voyager. I have quotes from her to write to. Right now that's at 7:30 p.m., but I think we might be moving that up. I'm not sure yet because I have to get up at 5 a.m. the following day. But the day after that is Thursday, and that's Storyboards with Sky. And she's going to be featuring the final movie of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, quotes, characters, film rights, Geek Out with Sky, 8 p.m. Thursday night. And, of course, the Man Cave ad
cool.
Time.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Anytime you stay as long as you want, dude. But, I know you're a time crunch. So
say
I appreciate
hi,
you writing. And, yeah.
Will do. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, Steve.
Good night.
We'll talk to you later. All right. Steven 76 from A Slice of Poetic Life. Is that right? Yeah, Slice of Poetic Life.
Close. A poetic slice of life. But you were
poetic
you had the right
life. I always say that damn wrong. I can't get that right.
A poetic slice of life.
Poetic slice of life. So, Chaos, did you bring Hatter gifts? Bring me a gift?
Did I bring you a gift?
She
I brought
did.
A poem.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah,
that's
a Hatter gift.
Considering I did consider, you know, just bringing a phone book, but, yeah, Chris isn't around anymore, so,
he's around occasionally.
Yeah, once in a while. That's a great while.
I've heard you read the phone.
I don't know if AP was around for that one or not.
I was.
I
remember. I've been around far too long, Kate.
You were there for
I
that
one? I remember it too well. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I am actually writing again.
Well done,
well,
you.
Good.
So I do... I actually finished a poem and posted it today for you, which was
are
very
in
interesting
a
on a teeny
can
tiny
you
poem.
Yeah, can you hang out for a while?
I can.
Are you in a
I can.
Okay, cool. Cool. Let's see. I want to look at our National Day calendar, which gives us what day we're celebrating. Today, April 22nd in the year of our Lord 2023, is National Jelly Bean Day. It is also Girl Scout Leader Day. And
I was one of
National
those.
Earth, were you? I was going to ask. Little brownies.
I was not a Girl Scout. I was a Boy Scout, but I was a leader.
Also, April 22nd is National Earth Day.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And being that I read these at the end of the day, I'm going to read you tomorrow's. National Talk Like Shakespeare. Talk Like Shakespeare Day tomorrow. Beseech thee thou.
Verily.
I was going to say, I'm not old enough to remember how he spoke.
sort of like Yoda.
I'm getting there.
Yeah. Tomorrow will be Lost Dog Awareness Day. Pick up a lost dog, save a lost dog. Also, Picnic Day. Cherry Cheesecake Day. Take a Chance Day. That's it. Tomorrow, Take a Chance. Cool. I should start writing this stuff down. In fact, I got my pad in front of me. I forget.
That would be being a pad up. Don't be silly.
Well, yeah, it's hard to admit. It's hard to admit. I'm in denial that I'm not a multitasker anymore, not like I used to be. It's hard to. Can't find on this day. Now, you want to? Should we read a poem first or continue chatting?
Well, we should do Chaos's poem. She's got Dan's put it up on the board.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah, we should do Chaos's poem.
You going here?
Okay. Let me run back to the studio.
You can please ready.
There you go. Okay. I'm ready.
You ready? Are you sure?
Yep.
I'm sure.
All right.
Yep.
It is called Taking a Seam Ripper to My Tattoos. Fire stolen like the light from my eyes rages to consume the sanctuary of shadows, shredding the strings of starlight, muting the melody of moonbeams. Silence. Heart cracked open, the chambers a cauldron of emotion, boiling away anything that was worth anything that was of worth. Desperation deepening despair, anger hardening to hatred, heart loathing heart. Flight or fight, and the deepest darkness reigns. Butterflies never wore halos, but demons can't bear stained glass wings. Purple shards pale, hidden horns shine. Wingless, soulless chaos. The end.
Okay, the title. Taking a Seam Ripper to My Tattoos. Wow. Is that a thought? You have tattoos?
I'm sorry?
Do you have tattoos?
A single tattoo. I don't.
I don't either. That was a rule in my mom's house. No motorcycles and no tattoos. Okay, Mom. No problem. So I carried Sharpies around. I drew temporary tattoos on people. AP, what'd you think?
Oh, it's great to have Chaos back. I like the last stanza. The deepest darkness reigns. Butterflies never wear halos, which is cute. But, and this is better, demons can't bear stained glass wings. And you could take that line in all sorts of different directions. I loved where you finished, the hidden horn shine, wingless, soulless chaos. It's really interesting. And you could write about 20 poems on lines in that last stanza. It's really cool.
Thank you.
I guess I should have introduced Purple Chaos. Purple Chaos was my first friends, if not the first friend I have had here on AP years ago.
You're going on 10, Hatter. Very last day of this year makes 10.
10 years, wow.
Yep, that's right.
My baby boy turns 10 this year.
10 years old. Jeez. Wow. God, that old.
We've known each other for 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet Pea said something last night that really made me think that when you're with your kids, you only have 18 summers
mm-hmm.
that you'd be able to spend.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I wish somebody had told me that a long time ago, because it really, if you put it that way, it's a short period of time.
It is.
If you look at, it like, how am I going to get them through college? It seems like it drags on. But Deborah.
Yeah,
how old are you? Go ahead, Deborah.
I kind of love the lines that AP quoted, especially the demons can't bear stained glass wings. I love that. But the title is wicked. Taking a seam ripper to my tattoos. I think that this came out fantastic. It was good to hear you from the sanctuary of those shadows, Chaos. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm all giddy.
The giddy hatter. So much for the angry poet.
No, I'm still angry. I'm still hungry. Got anger.
I call him the angry poet. No.
From the quarter above the door. Let's see. Let's post. You know what? I could put mine up there.
You could, Hatter.
Yeah,
you're in charge, so you could do that.
That's my show. It's called Marked as the Fool on the Hill. And that's a self-portrait right there. It goes like this.
That's kind of cool.
I took the time
to
write.
Are you okay to read, Hatter?
Yeah, if I have trouble, I'll let you know. I think I can see it.
Okay.
It goes like this. I took the time to write in rhyme these words that I pray you will need, you will heed. Take what is said, paint it blood red, then tell me what you see. The monster inside won't wait till I die. It will take what it wants by spell. Voices you'll hear raising the fears from the bottom of the wishing well. Thou shalt not steal, remember it's real, even if it falls apart. It likes to pretend that it lives within the thoughts that grows in the dark. If destiny calls you, what do you do? Do what they do, tell it you cannot see. Twisted the ringing that keeps you from feeling, asking it, how can this be? Praying for things the monster shall bring, feeding the beast as it grows. Even in dreams, it will start to scream, testing all that you know. So tell me what comes and where it is from, then look me in the eye. Speak of the things the monster will bring, then tell me about the lies. My days are numbered, and as I slumber, the beast will call out my name. If you tell them you see what's inside of me, they will think you have gone insane. From the heavens above, it will show that it's love that can save your soul from hell. Don't make the mistake by feeding the hate from the bottom of a wishing well. That place I shall go with the monsters that grow, I will hide myself in plain view. I pray for your soul and that it will let go when the beast comes searching for you. There is one thing you will need to bring as you bury my bones 6 feet under. Gather the light as it strikes the night, then wait for the roar of the thunder. I cannot tell you what you should do, but listen to what I have to say. What I have said, the monster inside me will plan to guide me out from the place of the dead. Beware the free as it follows thee. I know from where it is at. A secret to tell, remember it well, because it lies like a Cheshire cat. The history that shows where it all goes, it lives inside my head. The lies it tells, knowing full well, it walks among the dead. Free is the curse in the wisdom of words. Beware the waste of your time. The beast you see can easily be me, why I write in rhyme. I pray for the stone as I wander alone, knowing it takes my will, leaving what matters on the grave of Jay Hatter. It's marked as the fool on the hill. Good poem. A little long.
No, it's not. I think this is the longest poem you've done in a fair while, Hatter.
It's a long one.
Yeah, but it's probably one of your best ones too, because you get into the, there's a certain place that you go when you have sort of insights and thoughts in poems, and sometimes it takes you four or five stanzas to get into it, and this time it takes you all of about a couple of lines, and then you come out with some remarkable stuff. And I like the repeated rhymes of that are in here, and I really like the sort of craggy sort of journey of whether the monster is you or inside you or somewhere in between, and the rhymes do a great job of sort of, it's almost like snakes and ladders in your brain. It's really interesting. So a really good write, Hatter.
Thank you, AP. Yeah, I just kept writing, and then I edited a lot of it out.
No. There's some great stuff in here. There really is some of your best stuff for a long, long time. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
I totally agree with you. And when he started reading, and I was like, wow, and it's going and going and going. And you were so inspired. And in a couple different spots, I don't know if you've heard the new Shinedown song, but like it's called The Dead Don't Die. But parts of it made me think of that song, so I put it in your author's notes so you can listen to it in case you hadn't heard it. But like you can try, but The Dead Don't Die, I thought – between the trademark Hatter cadence and the feel, and I think AP just mentioned that you can tell by the way you read how into something you are, and that you really, really were into this one, so I think it came out fantastic.
Yeah, a little anger. The chaos, what'd you think, Ben?
I'm missing how to rhyme. I absolutely love that. This is definitely the dark side of Hatter, which right now I'm totally digging. I'm on the dark side of chaos. I wish I could see it. Right now, I'm flying blind.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't know you didn't have
it in
front of you.
I don't have a computer. I have no computer.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had to read my poem from my notebook. So, because, I write on paper. I'm one of those strange, crazy people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to comment when you don't have it sitting in front of you, so I understand totally.
Yeah, but I love the voices from the Wishing Well. I believe there was some, if I got that correct.
Yeah. I actually used it twice.
Yes. Yes. I was hoping I got that right because there was a repetition of it. But of course I have like brain issues.
Yeah. But we all.
Literal. But I believe AP mentioned the repetition of some of the rhymes. It really like hammered home some of the imagery in this, and the powerfulness of the the poetry. So, and again, missing your poetry, Adder.
I miss you too, man. Glad you're writing again. And you're welcome here anytime.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm most likely, unless you know, I fall into my head again, I'm going to be back around. So.
Cool.
This is good.
Well,
Hada.
But.
Can I have a go next?
Yeah.
Because we might as well double up on the rhyme chaos because we had a rhyme, now we have my rhyme.
Sure.
Oh yay.
That worked.
So. I've got two poems for today, Hada. So, great topic, by the way. I've got two poems for today. So, the first one is based on the idea that in the Australian bush, the seeds and nuts only generate new trees and bushes when there's a bushfire. If there's not a bushfire, the nuts and seeds don't open because they're so hard and knobbly and stuff. And so you don't get new bushes and trees unless you get a bushfire, and so that's what the monster below is. And it goes a little bit like this. Hidden far under the trees, below gumnuts and eucalyptus tangs, a secret coiled remains ill at ease, waiting to release its fangs. By hibernation 2 degrees, surrounding heat it can seize, and upon a breeze it will be ferried. The monster obscured by an emerald wheeze lies within her ferried. So soon gums pine for shoots, their nuts are so difficult to crack. Only fire can release new roots and provide foliage back. Ground brown soon loots, branches pine for ash and black. Soon march orange boots to landscape ash carried. A monster outward over ground scoots, in its venom harried. Here given no choice or favour, whatever lies ahead soon burned. Through each hill it will savour, this forest charred is churned. Ash chilled in flavour, rare with speed you spurned. Charred still saviour, new shoots are ferried, while young trees and future are waver. A monster again lies burned. New poem.
Is that the only species of trees or bushes that does that? Is it common in other?
It's quite unique to Australia, Hatter. Yeah, you basically it doesn't happen around the world as far as I understand, but definitely happens in Australia. You know, you've got to have a serious bushfire for things to regenerate again.
You know, to have something evolved that way to exist means that definitely bushfires is a common thing.
It's just part of the landscape, Hatter.
Yeah,
part of the landscape. Yeah.
Deborah, the monster below.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the fact that there needs to be a fire for this tree to continue on. That's just like mind blowing. And of course the AP rhyme and flow is always spot on, and I also wanted to point out, which I forgot to do when you did yours, was that the art here was drawn by AP, and just like the art for yours was drawn by you. I think that in this one it shows you those trees along the road, and you're left with the thought that if there was not a fire, there wouldn't be those trees, and that's still, it's hard to wrap your head around that, because you think that this fire destroys, not helps to create. So it's just fascinating. Great share.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, Chaos, I know you don't have it in front of you, but you want to comment? The monster blue?
Yeah, sorry. Without it in front of me, I can't. I'm sorry. The mind isn't going to grasp it.
Yeah. AP, is the eucalyptus tree from Australia or is that from South America? Where did it originate? Eucalyptus.
Really good question, Hannah. Let me check, because I don't know. So I am going to check as I'm answering you. I actually always thought it was it's native to Australia. Huh? It's eucalyptus, isn't it?
It is.
In South America now in numbers, but it is native to Australia. Yes.
Here in California, we have Interstate 5, which goes from Mexico to Canada through California, the link of California through Oregon and Washington. And the gentleman that was involved with the creation, they did it in sections. The section below Sacramento, above Sacramento, was one of the last ones to connect on Interstate 5. What this guy did, and there's all sorts of plaques up and down on the rest stops sort of explaining this guy's name and what he'd done. He planted these groves of eucalyptus trees ahead, five, 10 years ahead, being that the equipment to melt the tar, the asphalt, would need fuel, would need wood, something to burn. Now, eucalyptus is very oily and burns really hot.
Yes.
So you have all the way up I-5, you have in California, you have these groves. That's where the rest stops are, because they are huge trees, and they give you shade through the Sacramento Valley, which can be very hot in the summertime. But it's quite a story how this guy looked ahead 10 years ahead, and they grow fairly fast, I guess, looked ahead at what the construction was going to be needed. What is going to be needed. I hope he made a lot of money. I don't know if he did, but.
The eucalypts are wonderful trees, because they just come in so many different colors and shapes. I showed Deb the other only last night that I was working on a drawing that just had all the different sort of colors and shapes of eucalypts on it, because they can be gray and white in the trunk, and then other times they can be sort of completely black, and so they come in sort of shades of anything from white through to silver to then your normal sort of chestnutty type color through to something that's completely black. So they're really interesting trees, and you would have seen them on the interstate. It was just different varieties.
I remember the first time you can't really climb eucalyptus trees, but where I grew up in the Bay Area of San Francisco, on the Bayside, was very hilly, steep hills. In fact, the street I grew up on was called Downer Street. It was very steep.
Right.
There was a side of that hill, if you mark about a half mile around, there was this eucalyptus grove below the old high school. The old high school was a haunted building. I mean, it just looked like it should be. It was already not being used as I grew up. I think we moved when I was 10, so this is like when we're 8, 9, and 10. They had this rope swing on the side of this steep hill, and it was steep. That you would a narrow path, and then they had this huge rope, probably from a ship, that you could swing out on. I was always the little brother of my big brother. He always dared. I always got double dog dared, to do it. So I swung out on this rope. And I looked down, and it must have been freaking 200 feet down.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was like the first time in my life that I went, oh my, don't You know, don't forget. And the problem was, if you didn't swing, hard enough out, you didn't have enough to swing back.
Swing back.
You didn't want to get hung out there, hanging on. Because nobody could get you. Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
I remember that. Right. All right. What is that? Are you using pencils on that picture? Colored pencils?
I'm using pencils that turn into watercolors, Pat up. So I'm doing a combination of pencil and watercolor.
Okay.
I have some of those, and
I've
never used them.
Oh, really?
You should, Kyle. It's fun. Because you sort of get, look, I'm talking like an expert. I've like used them for 6 weeks. But they're really cool because you can use the, you know, the lines and the effects you get from a pencil, and then you can use a different size paintbrushes to turn them into sort of a more sort of paint style of thing. So I've been having all sorts of fun just working that out.
I'll
probably should
I'll
give
bring
them
my,
to my daughter. She enjoys watercolors.
Yeah. Well, so you sort of get two for one because, you know, oftentimes what happens with watercolors is that they sort of fade into the paper that you've got or fade into the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like me, you then go and you can over trace with the pencil again. Yeah, so you can use them two different ways. I really like them.
But that's really her kind of style, is the watercolor and then going over it with like a like a Prismacolor or Tessa color pencil.
Yeah.
And that's kind of her style of thing. My 13-year-old, she's amazing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's quite the artist. And, of course, I have an art degree, so I totally, totally encourage her. She wants to be an art teacher when she grows up.
That is so cool.
Tell her to go professor. Professor of art.
Professor
my,
of
my,
art,
my,
yeah.
For the record, Chaos, my daughter, who's just coming up to 18. She wants to draw and write comic books for her living. That's what she wants to do as when she grows up. And she's
like
pretty grown
Japanese
up now.
Japanese anime, like the Japanese anime.
So she's about 500% better than me, of course. But then she's been doing it for about 8 years, and I've been doing it for like about 8 minutes, and so, you know, that makes sense.
She's fabulous.
I'm trying to get back into my art too, so I've gotten back into my writing. I'm trying to get back into my art too, trying to get the tremors under control in my right hand so that I can do my art.
That'd be cool. Well, when you get back and have the show, and you know, you can see the board, you'll see that I've started doing art, so there you go.
I look forward to it.
So,
I'll bring my set of I'll bring my set of brushes down. I dabbled in most mediums, but I think I enjoyed the water acrylics the most.
Okay.
Now I just do black and white. Black and white. The
pencil, just bring your, in case you missed it, Chaos, Hatter is coming down to Australia in a week's time, Hatter. Just over a week.
That is so exciting.
And so he'll be here for 3 weeks.
It started when COVID hit.
Yeah.
We were looking for a window to fly down, and COVID hit, stopped everything.
That stopped everything in tracks, but it's all sorted now, Hatter. So we Hatter's on Air New Zealand out of San Francisco in a week and a bit's time. So Baker.
Yeah, I think I held over in New Zealand for an hour, just an hour, I think.
Yeah, you got an hour and a bit in New Zealand, and it's a pretty simple little airport, so it's pretty hard to get lost, I think.
I'm so excited for
but
you.
It's cute. It's full of New Zealanders. It's quite cute. So,
yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. The way I live, being sort of a recluse, right, Joey?
Yeah.
Hi. She said hi.
I don't even go to Walmart anymore. Come on.
The last brain surgery I had, that's when I got my agoraphobic tendencies, they say. I didn't leave the house for almost 2 years.
Just taking
care of my mother as she was going through medical problems. I couldn't believe it. She one day said, didn't you play pool for a bar around here? Why don't you go there? My mom telling me to go to a bar was just absolutely bizarre.
It's kind of fun, really.
I had to go shopping in the middle of the night. Probably if I didn't have a dog to take care of, I probably would have starved. When he needed food, that's when I would have to go. Anyway, the crowd thing, it's really calmed down for several years now. I don't have that panic, anxiety, when I had my first panic attack, I thought I knew what fear was. You know, when you're growing up, you put you in situations that your fear takes over. I thought I knew it.
Yep.
I had no idea how it could just knock you down. And that's how I felt. The fear of crowds and it being in line. And it was just overwhelming. But the doctors say I'm much better now.
I saw it, Hatter, when I was working, strangely enough, because we had a guy who took over from me to look after credit in this agricultural company I was in. And part of that was you just had to get into small planes, yeah? Because you go in the middle of nowhere, there's not big planes, there's small planes. And the biggest small plane we got in had 20 or 30 seats, and the smallest of them only had 4 or 5, right? So you were down into Cessnas and that sort of stuff, yeah? And this guy told me that he struggled with small planes. And I hadn't seen it before because he'd never sort of been in a plane less than a 737. Anyway, he said he was going to be fine. And so we walked out onto the runway in Brisbane and there was a 5-seat Cessna there. And we were going to go in the Cessna out to West Queensland, this property was 50K long, 30 mile long by about 20 mile wide. And so the easiest way to see it was from a plane, Anyway, we got to the stairs of the plane and he physically could not get up the stairs. He physically could not step onto the first step. He just stopped and froze when he saw this plane. And whatever he did, he could not move his foot onto the first step. And it was just scary. It really was.
Yeah, that's a real thing, I guess.
No, it's a real thing. He ended up driving out to this place, and he met us about 6 hours later. Now, Hatter, we've got a caller, and it's 503.
Okay.
Hello and welcome, 503, to the show.
Hello?
Hello, David.
This is Dave Prophet.
Oh, Prophet.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're all doing fine.
Good. Good.
Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice, man. It's been a while since you called. my show.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I've been, had a lot of crap going on in my life right now. So, but I just decided that I was going to put it aside for you guys.
Cool.
Well done, Dave. Well done. And I've got your palm up if you want to read it, Dave.
Yeah, sure. I'll read it. You bet.
Yeah. We got it.
Okay. Let's see. Well, this show said it was about, the subject was monsters, and they wanted to know what kind of monsters were inside of each of us. So I wrote my poem, and I called it My Monsters. And it sounds like this. My monsters are plural, hence the S, becomes countenance neural, hence the mess of David William. Of all the monsters, sine of theta's trillium, its three petal responders, too much enthusiasm just for one man in the teeter-totter of purple sarcasm. Monster number one, interstellar blackness in her dark mane, skin sheen and whiteness juxtaposed so insane, her glowing pale skin inside black platform heels, calling my monsters within, the symmetry of her feet reveals my love of the female foot. All those lovely angles pinpoints her sexual output, a mathematical fandango. Monster number two, old school hot rods, multiple carved high compression hard levers, epitaphs of old school gods, rumpity rump idols, no computers found, strains against her bridle, humming her staccato sound. She'll shake your window panes. She loves a taste of E85. She'll rattle your brains, prefers methanols, high five. Don't need no stinking turbochargers. I get 100% volumetric efficiency, all from 14.7 pounds of atmospheric barter, titanium glasses of intake and exhaust sufficiency. Monster number three, Stratocaster searing nasal whine, the blondie in my lap, reclining so sublime, bleeds her emerald thunderclap, siren of her high-frequency sounds, her and I become one, tears to my eyes she compounds. My soul I give to her when it's done, when she returns it, engraven with obsidian markers, placements on her neck lit from every place I've been on her. She sees my hands and starkers. There are more monsters inside me. If you come in, you can see. Maybe a ride, if you please. Come inside my silver Oldsmobile. Would you like a piece of candy, little girl? End poem.
So I take it that the 442? The 442?
No, it's a Cutlass S-455. Cutlass S-455.
Okay. Hot rods and guitars.
Huh?
Hot rods and guitars.
What?
And feet. They're monsters.
Yeah. They're monsters all.
Yeah. AP, what do you think, man?
I want Chaos to call for to comment first because she's laughing her head off.
I'm sorry. I had a friend in college all the time who used to walk up to me and go, "Hey, little girl, you want some candy?"
Yeah.
So that
sort of
just
like,
killed me.
sort of like Ozzy's Mr. Tinker Train, if you've ever heard that one. Kind of the same thing.
Remember the Ides of March? Ides of March. They sang a song called Vehicle. Step inside my black sedan. Do you want to ride inside my car?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaos, you want to comment?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh.
So who's the lady with you guys?
I'm pretty sure there's some. Oh, hang on. I've got my phone going crazy. It says I need to be medicated.
Okay. Okay, Deborah.
Well, I thought it came out really cool, David, and I like that Blondie's in there somewhere. For those who don't know, that's the name of his guitar. But I like how you have all these little nuances that bring out the monster, but that you managed to click that in there. And I agree with Hatter. It's been a while. It's good to hear you back. Cool poem.
Thank you. Deborah, you know all those little nuances about me better than anyone else on all poetry, I think.
We won't tell. So let's see, we're just out an hour into the show. We've run into ATOV Radio, a writing group sharing our work. If you want to call in, the number here is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837. I hope that's the right number.
Dave,
are you pushed for time? Are you going to hang out for a little bit? Dave?
What?
I just asked if you were pushed for time or if you were going to hang for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to hang. Yeah, sure. Cool. I'll help you guys read if you need to. I don't know if there's that much to read.
No, it's all good. We've still got a couple left, though. Can I make a comment, Hatter?
You surely can.
I was going to make a technical comment, though. Given my previous time in the oil industry, I was going to talk about ethanol and methanol and say that ethanol has two-thirds the power of normal gasoline and methanol only has half the power of normal gasoline. But because methanol has a greater detonation resistance, you get more power for your buck. And so I completely agree with your comment technically on methanol, ethanol, E85, and normal fuel. There you go. How's that for a technical comment?
Yeah, it's good. One of the nice things about methanol, it's the simplest alcohol there is, and it has more specific energy due to its air-fuel ratio. You can run it 4-to-1 almost, you know, as compared to gasoline, which is 14.6 pounds per gallon, you know. And I'm a big fan of alcohol fuels. You know, it's a biodegradable fuel. If the motor's running clean, the only thing it's making is carbon dioxide and water, you know. It's neat stuff. It really is. It's got a really high latent heat of vaporization too, which makes it cool. The air going into the fuel injectors or in through a carburetor a lot colder, and so you get a lot more density into the cylinders. You know, a lot more volumetric efficiency, and that equates to a lot more mid-range torque and stuff. You know, you know, methanol, the alcohols got a real bad rap because when they started putting that stuff in the cars, the fuel systems weren't up for it, and the alcohol is a polar molecule, so it pulls a lot of water in with it, and then it corrodes everything, you know. There's ways to get around that, you know.
They didn't have the splash guard thing on the nozzles to where they could get it because it burns invisible, doesn't it? They'd be on fire and you don't know.
Thank you, Hatter. That's exactly the problem that we had because I was the person who put ethanol-based fuels firstly into Australia in Brisbane. And the thing that was the hardest thing to get across was train the emergency services in the fact that it burns clear. The thing.
I think they put an additive in methanol now so that it burns with a reddish flame. You can see it.
Yeah,
you know, when it's on fire.
Yeah, correct. There you go. There was a technical fuel conversation in the middle of poetry sting.
I remember some of the old film of a member of the pit crew. He'd be dancing around. He was on fire. You know, he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Duke of Racing. All right.
Anyway.
Do we have any SoundClouds?
We have no SoundCloud chatter, but we do still have a couple of poems that board. We have Deb's, and we have one of mine, but we also have one by Pee Wee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So what we might do, Deb's got her palm up on the board next, so we'll do Deb's, and then we'll work out who wants to read Pee Wee's, and then I've got my second one.
You just print that out and mail it to me, and I'll read that for you.
Okay. Cool.
Okay? Because you know I love to read for other people.
Yeah,
can we hear that? Yes, we could. Let's see. Through an email, huh?
No. Print it out. Submit an envelope. Put a stamp on it. Mail it to me. Because I've been slipped back into the Middle Ages.
Yeah, that's okay. Got it.
Mail it. We'll wait.
Now, meantime, we should get Deb to read. Deb, did you want to read your piece?
Sure thing. So I didn't write a new one. I went and pulled one out that shows when my monster's been released, like the Kraken. And it's called Bet You Wish You Never Toyed With My Smile.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
And here we go. Stare into the pink periwinkle sky, graying as the blazing sunball falls, dropping in the sea on the landscape line with the moon climbing as the owl calls, counting the blinks as quartz satellites glitter, sob to the titanium starlight whispering wishes to the opal moon glowing on the ebony and marking the night. Picture my face and two bloodshot eyes swelling and blinded from the shine and daylight. Dig deep, bleed for me, then bottle the blood puddle in copper inkwells to write a poem for me, bleeding the poetry. Scribble crimson into lines, and as wet plasma dries into scabs, crusted and scarlet brown, pick them off, hemorrhaging, again. And again, erasing every two-faced smile, growing them into a frown. A frown for every teardrop hazel eyes spilled, weeping saltwater pools over you. Then bathe in the shadowing rotations, drinking the darkness like morning dew. Leaving a fingerprint trail, trace the thick scars you etched into me. Reading me like pages in raised braille, mapping the path to hell that two eyes see. Follow the trickle dots on the pavement, shaking as the sidewalk shadows rise, wrapping you in black blankets mist, vomiting as the lungs and smoke burns the eyes. Now roast in the flaming fire pits, screaming as flesh fries, blistering. Dunked like cookies and milk as you sink and then rise. Bob like a buoy in a lava stream with me dropping tissues down for you just to see the flaming orange trail. Looping, then spiraling like paper airplanes, spinning in the red cinders as you wail. But do not die. So just wave goodbye. And pull.
So just wave goodbye. I know better than to have interaction with Deb until she's had her morning coffee.
Yeah.
What?
Dave, you want to call it?
Yeah, I do.
I forgot the author's name. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and remember, you set the precedence for this journey.
I really like this poem a lot, Deborah. This was really cool. I put a comment down here some time ago. It says, Deb, I could see this side of you somehow. Mostly I see the side I like and know. We all have this different face, and we only wear it when we need to, most times choosing to hide it. This was so well worded and metaphors worked so good with the storyline. You had me right beside you watching him burn. I really like this, Deb. I really did. I can see you sitting, you know, watching this individual suffer. You know, I see the firelight dancing in your eyes and stuff. And I think you'd be a real fun lady to get drunk with sometime.
That could be true, you know, as long as I'm in a good mood. But, yeah, there was a particular person I was none too happy with, and this was for her. And it also happens to be my 666th 10. So the 666 fired it, too. So it was, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was in a mood.
Yeah, I can see
I think I got five.
That was cool.
Thank you.
AP, I got it.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. We've got a show coming up for Deb where we've got 10 of her quotes, and I had the privilege of going picking them out. And it's interesting because you think about Deb and her writing, and it often you think about periwinkle and goldenrod and all of these colours, you know. But it's interesting because Deb does a great little vein of really dark poetry, and this is one of them where it just sort of gets itself into that frame of mind and just goes bang and just you know knocks people away. And so as I said, you don't normally think about Deb in this sort of really ferocious, dark sort of piece, but it is. It's great. It's ferociously dark, and in the words of Sweet Pea, this is amazing, dark, yummy, and makes me giggle. In common.
Cool comment. And I have to be driven to this kind of a poem. Just saying.
So, who here has hazel eyes? Raise your hands.
Me.
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 Wow.
I've been told mine actually change colors from winter to summer. They're more blue in the winter.
Wow.
I mean, in the summer, blue in the summer, and they're green.
Mine have only changed color twice.
Really?
Mine changed with my mood.
Mine too. Yeah. And if I cry, the best green comes out.
Yeah. If I'm happy and having a good time, they're real green. If I'm pissed off, they're real gray. That's what I've been told anyway.
Like a mood ring.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are
the
weirdest
exactly.
thing. They're brown. But both times that I've been pregnant, they've turned green.
Get out.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Depends what color you're wearing.
A weird deep shade of green. So I have no idea what that's called. Chaos. I don't know.
Chaos.
I'm inexplicable. Yeah.
Have you ever run across somebody that has such deep color in their eyes? I knew a nurse from Dallas, Texas. Her name was Debbie. And she had the emerald green eyes, the most greenest eyes I've ever seen in my life. And I also knew a Kathy that had spooky blue, steel blue eyes. And I always tell her, quit staring at me with those frickin' eyes. Because it is just spooky. They're so deep in color. Yeah.
You know what
I, have
you
a,
know what I think?
I have a cousin who has eyes that are crystal blue that are creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I was going to say, I think some of the creepiest looking eyes are really pale blue eyes. They just sort of have a real, evil appearance to them, or, cold or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They're like icy looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually created a page on Facebook. It's called Beautiful Eyes. And I just posted some of the most brilliant colors of eye, different color of eyes, everything from black to steel to steely silver.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Now, how do
I? Yeah, they're still blue.
I was going to interrupt.
Yeah.
I was going to interrupt because we might do Pee-wee's Palm next.
Okay. Let's do that.
And yeah, and I might read it for Pee-wee. I think he's on the board. So, hello Pee-wee. We'll do our best. This is from 10 hours ago. This is 7 trips around the sun. And it goes a little bit like this. Crawling out my insides, here comes my friend. Gilded thorns in my spine, here he comes again. He was good as done, confounded in conformity. 7 laps around the sun, the bastard slithered out of me. Clawing and tearing at my feeble health, driving my life down the highway to hell. Inside, the monster never stays asleep. 7 trips around the sun, now I'm feeling weak. Hell, are you doing to me? Why don't you go away? Just get away, let me be. I'm starting to shake. No, inside the monster, he'll never stay asleep. 7 trips around the sun, clean on that Easter, I OD'd. End poem.
That's cool.
Wow. Wow, 7 trips around the sun. Seven trips
around.
Is he...
I really like 7.
What's he talking about, Deborah? You think the monster?
I would imagine that you would say staying school kids to the monster. This kind of reads like a heavy metal song. And I'm kind of like, wow, clawing and tearing at my feeble health, driving my life down the highway to hell. So it's got him by the proverbials, and it's holding on, and the monster never stays asleep. I'm thinking. And then at the end there, 7 trips around the sun, clean on that Easter, I OD'd. The monster inside it was an addiction because it's past tense. But this is like really powerful and gripping and hard and honest. And again, I say it really could be a heavy metal song.
Yeah, certainly. David, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Deb said about it. It is a very powerful poem. I really liked it. It's got good rhyme and meter to it. And I like it how it comes around and hits the nail on the head about the 7 laps around the sun, you know, in every other stanza just about. I think this is a poem that we can all relate to because we all have these monsters inside of us, however big or small they are, how good or bad they are, they rear their heads periodically, and, you know, that's just our cross to bear. We have to learn how to deal with them sometimes if they're not so good. Some people, you know, have have good luck and have good monsters inside them, you know. I don't know, like Jimi Hendrix, I think he's one of my favorite guitar players, and he always had a good word to say about everything. And I love the guy. I'd like to give him a great big hug right now. But, you know, it can be either good or bad. I think in this case, it was probably bad. You know, like Deb said, it was past tense in the last stanza there. So, but that's too bad. But anyway, it was a good poem. I really liked it. Sinister aspects to it appeal to me a lot. But yeah, this was cool.
Yeah, Pee Wee's one of our newer poets. He's been joining the group, and he brings it every time. He's a good poem.
Yeah.
Hey, Pee, you read it? You read it? What do you think?
And Pee Wee just put a comment on the board. that he got into poetry through songwriting, and so a lot of his poems take that form. And it does have the sense of a song, you're right, absolutely, as you go through it. And it does have excellent rhyme, and it does have fine meter, and it just falls down the page really beautifully. And it was a pleasure to read it.
Yeah, excellent.
Chaos,
would you like to comment? I know you don't have it in front of you, but you can comment if you'd like.
Yeah, that's real hard hitting right there. Probably because of you know, my past history. Yeah, this is a new poet for me. You know, I'm just coming back, yes. And he's just coming in. So, but wow, yeah.
I think as far as writers go, nobody leads more tragic lives than poets, it seems.
That's true.
But we all survive, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm still alive in here, so but yeah, that one hit a little close to home. But it's very well written, very well written. Very powerful.
Yeah, thank you, Pee-wee, for writing for the show. Appreciate it. The monsters inside of this. I'll go around. Anybody want to add a comment on the prompt, the monsters inside us? Any kind of comment to give you the mic for a minute? I had my monsters. I was ODing every day after my brain surgery. I got hooked on those Duragesic morphine patches. Talk about nasty stuff to get off of, man. That was terrible.
Yeah,
I won 24/7 for 8 years, and then I was
eating
so many Vicodin and Valium. I was basically OD'd every day. But it was like real life was so tragic. In my REM sleep, there was another world there where I lived, and it was beautiful, and that's where I wanted to be. I actually slapped myself. I sat myself and put myself in the hospital, realized what I was doing, and I've been clean from that for 15 years now, over 15 years.
Yeah.
Coming off of opiates is ugly.
Yeah,
morphine is.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but I've seen it, and it's ugly.
Yeah. I was on one of those push-button machines in the hospital after my cancer surgery, and I made them take me off of it because I was having dreams, really bad nightmares on it, and I dreamed that I died one time, and that's enough. That's enough of this crap. And I called the nurse, and I said, take this damn thing out of here. And she said, well, what can we give you? And I said, just give me some Vicodin. At least that makes me feel human, you know. And she says, okay, we'll get this out of here. And so they rolled it out that night. Yep. I didn't want none more to do with it.
Okay, I got to tell this story, and I've told it before, but I don't know if you guys have heard it. I was in a vehicle accident, and I was taken to the hospital by ambulance, and they couldn't give me anything for the pain. I had internal damage, and they were worried about my neck and head, being that I had trauma to my head before. So they couldn't give me anything for pain while they took these tests. So it was about an hour, a little more than an hour that I had to withstand before I could get any relief. When I did, I went back. They put me back to the ER, and the nurse said, well, are you ready for some vitamin M? And I said, sure, please. And she, I was already hooked up to an IV, so she injected it at the IV and then left. About 10 minutes later, she comes back and goes, how are you feeling? I go, I'm not feeling a thing. She goes, well, let me give you that. She gave me 10 cc's, and she gave me 5 more. She comes back 5 minutes later and goes, how you feel? I go, well, nothing's working. This is not. And she knows that this should be, and I know that it should be instantaneous. She goes, well, let me go talk to the doctor. She goes to the doctor, comes back and says, okay, we can give you 10 more. So she gave me 10 more milligrams. And she goes, now I'm going to sit here and wait because I know this is going to affect you. And I sat there and know nothing. She goes, well, let me check the line. She checked the line. It was kinked. So she unkinked the line. I got 25 milligrams one time.
Holy cow.
Yeah. She goes, oh, now you'll feel it. I go, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Blimey, titty.
Did my standard speed. Yeah.
That's actually dangerous.
Well, I was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, but still, you know. Can't call that shit back, you know.
She stayed at my side for quite a few minutes after that, make sure I was okay.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what they're using for anesthetic nowadays, but about a month ago, I had an operation on for my broken ankle, and they took me in there, and the guy says, okay, he says, I'm going to start getting you relaxed for the surgery, and that no sooner came out of his mouth than I was asleep. And then when I woke up, I felt like $1 million. I mean, I didn't feel goofy. I felt really good and relaxed, and I was hungry. Boy, was I hungry. And so the nurses were running around me, and they said, well, how do you feel? How do you feel, Mr. Provost? I said, I'm hungry. And they said, you're hungry? And I go, yeah. And she goes, well, that's a good sign. Here's some Jell-O. I just had them feed me for right away, you know. That was funny. I don't know what it was, but it's good stuff now. You know, I remember a long time ago, I broke my arm when I was in high school wrestling, and they had to knock me out to set the arm because it had a clean break on one side. And when I woke up, I was sick at my stomach. I felt like hell and threw up a little bit. And now that stuff doesn't happen anymore. That's amazing.
Yeah,
well,
I remember my niece said
some medical stuff, Pat. This medical 101 here. When I woke up from one of my more recent surgeries, and God knows I've had a few, I felt the worst I'd ever felt. I felt completely out of it, and worse than that, it felt like I was struggling to breathe and I was drowning. So I came up from the anesthetic, and it felt like I was actually being flooded, and it felt like literally I was drowning, and it was the worst sort of feeling. And I said afterwards to the anesthesiologist or whatever they're called, I said, what on earth did you give me? And they said, we used the old fashioned method of putting some gas in first and then putting you under. And I said, for God's sake, don't do that again, ever. And so I specifically said, don't ever use gas, just use the whatever the hell I use. And I've never had that again. So there's apparently, for me, staying clear of the gas is the way to go.
They didn't use ether. Did they use ether? They didn't use ether.
Buggered if I know how to what they use. But I just basically said, whatever you just did, for God's sake, don't do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend I had just found out, it was a life, I've known him most of my life, played football with him, he was my fishing partner. He moved back to Ohio, and I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he said that his mom had fallen down the stairs and broke her hip bone, cervix?
Yeah.
What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she went into surgery and never woke up from the anesthesia.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why they get paid so much, the anesthesiologist. I think they're the highest paid person in the operating room.
You know, I had a story that somebody told me in church the other day, and this guy was just baptized the other day. And he got into a car wreck and was unconscious for a long time. I don't know when it was. When he woke up, his wife had passed away.
Oh, no.
Now, if that isn't a sad story, if you ever heard one, you know?
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That would suck.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Horrible. That's horrible. Patter, I've got one last poem. I've got one last poem.
Okay, let's do it.
Because I did. You did so well with this that I actually did two poems. But before I say that, we've got to have a theme for next week. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to remind you.
And I sort of thought there's few words in the English language where the US and Australian say things differently. Yeah, but one of them is tomato. Yeah. You say tomato. I say tomato. Same thing. Tomato, tomato. That's the theme because it's one of the few things that Australians and US people say differently. Tomato.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you because I know there's certain things you don't want to say when you visit Australia. One's don't shrimp on the Barbie or something like that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you. Yeah. Oh, God, there seems like a tourist.
Yep. Tomato, tomato, oregano, oregano. You know, there's a list of them. But
aluminum. Hey, say aluminum. Say
aluminum.
Aluminum.
Yeah. Aluminium.
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 Yeah.
Yep. But we're going to go tomato for next week, Hannah. Tomato.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to do my second poem. This is Deep Within. Not a bad way to finish, actually. And it goes a little bit like this. Three goals bobbed, swept on bow, the golden sun was subsiding to stern. Waves rushed fast and into the prow as the last rays of day grazed to burn. Sails were set for the onshore breeze, a small wooden yacht still sped along. To no reason my stomach did seize, dreaders knew something was wrong. Up on the surface swelled a clear day, there was not one cloud tracking sky. Still deep in my conscience a fear did lay, why I struggled to work out just why. Then, as speedily as it first arrived, a strange feeling it recoiled to wear thin, and I did not know if I had survived or simply beaten my monsters within. End poem.
Oh, there you go. Sales, what was that part? So, seasickness?
A little bit. Did you like a pleasure?
What was that last line again?
Sorry, Cass.
Could you repeat that last line again?
I will do the last stanza for you, okay? Then, as speedily as it first arrived, a strange feeling it recoiled to air thin, and I did not know if I had survived or simply beaten my monsters within.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
Probably what it feels like. Yeah, probably what it feels like. I've been out in the ocean several times and I've never gotten seasick. And I've seen people that have. That must be horrible because you can't turn around. They're not going to turn around for you, so you're going to be there the whole day.
No. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Tomato next week. I have tomato.
Tomato. Yes, next week. Tomato.
All right. Hey, I want to thank everybody.
I have no idea how to write about a tomato.
Yeah.
Well,
tomato tomorrow.
Draw a picture for it. Chaos. Just give us a picture. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no way to post that though.
True. Okay.
I don't know how to do that on a cheap government phone.
I want to thank everybody for participating that did. Pee Wee, thanks for writing. Steven76, thanks for calling in. Chaos, great to hear your voice again. AP Taylor and Deborah Lee, my friends, always a special night Saturday we spend together. Thank you. And I think.
Prophet?
Oh, of course, Prophet. Jeez, Dave. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
That beanbag show. Yeah.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure always is. Mm-hmm. Now, I love you guys.
Next week, are you going to be able to do the show because you're getting on a plane about this time?
No, it'll be Sunday night.
But you're going to cross the date line, so we'll probably skip next week and do tomato, tomato the week after that.
I leave the next night, AP. I leave Sunday night here.
Do you? Oh, okay. Okay, perfect. So tomato, tomato will be your last night in California for a while. Okay, cool. Righto, got it.
Yeah.
And another note, guys, due to AP's schedule, personal prompt Monday this week and this week only will be from 7 to 9 Eastern rather than 10 to 12. So check out the topic. It's Anzac Day in Oz, and spend the day with AP.
So that'll be 4 my time.
Yeah.
On Pacific? Yeah, okay.
Anybody who already wrote, I sent them a personal note in their inbox, and then I put a big giant note on top of the topic itself saying that it switched for this week to 7. So 4 for you, Hatter. There's plenty of pictures to choose from. Grab your
card. And, of course, you'll be calling me to remind me that day.
Of course.
Of course, thank you. All right. Well, we've been listening to A Team of Voices Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening, and those that will be listening on our on-demand files, the shows. Anybody want to say a last word, Deborah? Anything else?
I have 3: love and respect.
And respect. AP Taylor, my friend. What's up?
I just say tomato and tomato twice. You had it? Tomato and tomato.
Okay. Dave Prophet, you want to say something last in the show?
Oh, thank you. I had a blast being here tonight, and I'm going to try and do this more often.
Cool. Yeah, you're welcome here anytime. And Purple Chaos, my longtime friend, would like to say the last word.
I'm glad to be back.
Glad to be back. Yeah, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me, Hatter and AP.
Anytime. So let's go out with a song. Can we play Alice?
We can. So on that note, oh, and by the way, the reason there was no cold-out is because Sweet couldn't make it, but it is tucked away in my dress. We will try again next week. And
in your dress?
In my dress, yes. Because it's not presented until Sweet can hear it, too.
Okay.
So on that note, love and respect everyone. Great show, guys. And here comes Shine Down. Her name is Alice.
Thank you. Thanks, Hatter. Thanks, everybody.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time. Every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit, drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can ever hurt you.
Christ of the Goodness and Shapes in Shadows at Shinedown. Thank you all for spending time with us. Thank you, Deborah. Hey, P.
Great show, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Night, bye-bye. Everyone.
One day count.